We're beginning a special class on the Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah, and we'll begin with introducing the idea of the Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah. So, our day really begins with creation. The day of Rosh Hashanah was the day in which Adam sinned. It was the day in which Adam was judged. And so it became the day in which all of humanity would be judged. Now, at first glance, that seems complicated. Because we're taking the day of the greatest human failing. We're taking the day where, at first glance, creation was a failure. The epitome of creation is Adam HaRishon. And on that day, we're re-inaugurating Hashem? What is the symbolism of this day being the day in which Adam sinned, Adam was judged, so we are again judged every year? So Chazal tell us that Hashem instituted this day because this was the day in which man was victorious in judgment. Man was victorious in judgment. Really? At first glance, it doesn't seem like he was too victorious. God comes to judge him, and he did sin. But then there's Midat HaRachamim, where Hashem says, I have to have mercy on him. He's a human being. He has human failings. He has human desires. And so even though I have to take him to task over what he did, and I said he would die on the day that he ate from the fruit, I'm going to judge that as a day in my accounting, which is 1,000 years, Kielef Shanim Ki Yom Etmol, Kielef Shanim Beinecha Ki Yom Etmol, as the Psalm says, but in God's eyes, 1,000 years are like a day, and then Hashem grants Adam 1,000 years. So Hashem judges him, and that's called that he is found victorious because he comes out alive. Because Hashem, so to speak, found a way within the system to say, well, he's human, so I have to have mercy over him. And so Hashem says, just as you walked away victorious on this day, so too your descendants will walk away on this day, hopefully victorious, and we are instituting, Hashem says, this is going to be the day of judgment. This day, the day man was created, the day man was judged, the day in which the heavenly court took into consideration the human factor and found a way to get Adam to have a lighter sentence. And that's called he walked away victorious. Nachmanides, in his famous letter about Rosh Hashanah, in his famous speech about Rosh Hashanah, says, what does it mean that a person walks away a tzaddik, that tzaddikim gemurim are signed for life? He says a tzaddik means that the court found him victorious to live that year. That's what it means, victorious. It doesn't mean he's a tzaddik, a tzaddik gemur. Oh, he's done nothing wrong. Nachmanides asks Rabbi Akiva on the year he was tortured to death, when he was brought to judgment that Rosh Hashanah, was he a tzaddik gamur or a rasha gamur? Because he was decreed to be killed, right? So what was he? So Nachmanides says, obviously he was a tzaddik. But the idea is that when one walks away and the judgment is he will be killed, that's called he is musha in Tanakh terminology. To be rasha is not the way we would loosely translate it, to be wicked, but rather to be found guilty, to be found deserving of punishment. And even though a person might have millions of mitzvot, if for whatever reason the heavenly court found him deserving of punishment or death that year, God forbid, so then that's called he is rasha gamur. He was decided to be, what's it called when one's found guilty in court? Implicated?
Convicted.
Right. And if a person is found that he will, if it's decided he will be granted life that year, he was completely vindicated, that's called tzaddik gamur.
So you would say everybody who dies has done
it? That's an excellent question. The simple reading of Nachmanides is that way. It happens to be a machlokas in the Gemara. Whether we say yesh mitah belo chet, yesh yisurim belo avon, yesh mitah velo chet, does a person die without sin? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. So Nachmanides is going with that opinion, or at least he's learning that this Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan says that this is how judgment works on Rosh Hashanah, is going with that opinion. That's the way it would seem. So the day was chosen as Hashem chose this to be the day He would judge the world. And then Hashem gave us a Torah and gave us mitzvot on this day. And the prime mitzvah of the day is blowing shofar. Blowing shofar, Chazal give us multiple interpretations as to what the shofar represents. The simplest interpretation is that we are inaugurating the king. You're blowing shofar just as you blow trumpets when the king walks in, we are blowing shofar. Another idea is that the blowing of the shofar commemorates the Akedah, commemorates the great salvation that's yet to come. And there's a third idea that the blowing of the shofar is the greatest form of prayer. Imagine you and your sister want the car Saturday night. You walk in and start talking to your father, and your father says, no, you don't. You have to be up on time tomorrow. You have schoolwork to do. You shouldn't go out on the town. And every argument you give, your father gives a counter-argument, and by the time you're finished, you don't have the car. Okay, you go up to your room. You're not too pleased. Your sister walks into the room. She sits down. She also wants the car. She doesn't say a word. She sits down and starts crying. She's sniffling. And your father walks over to her. Becky, what's wrong? Oh, Dad. She starts crying. And your father says, Becky, tell me, what's bothering you? What's the problem? I'm sure we can find a solution. And she's crying, and he's begging her to tell him what's wrong. And after 2 or 3 minutes, she says, well, I know you don't want to give me the car, but you know, I really wanted to take this break. I've been working so hard all week, and I was hoping to have this night to go out with my friends. And what does the father say? Well, of course you could have the car. You need the break. Who won? A tear, a cry, penetrates the heart where words cannot penetrate. And the shofar is called the trua, the yebava, the wail. The shofar penetrates where words cannot penetrate. And so we blow shofar, according to this third interpretation, it is the purest form of prayer. It's the cry. So that is the prime mitzvah of the day. There is a secondary mitzvah of the day, and that is the tefillah, our davening. And in our tefillah, in our davening, we have malchuyot zichonot shofarot. We have the re-inauguration, so to speak, where we mention Hashem, we stress Hashem as King. We have the Zichonot, where we speak about all the things Hashem will remember and our merits on this day, and the Shofarot, and the hope for a better future, that great Shofar blast we are awaiting. And this theme appears in every one of the Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah, even though its prime focus is in the Musaf prayer of the day of both days. But we will see how the theme appears throughout the Tfilot. So we enter Rosh Hashanah with happiness and trepidation. Trepidation from Judgment Day. Happiness because we're being judged by the kindest judge there is. Kinder than the kindest judge there is. And so we walk in with confidence. We will do tshuva and Hashem will make things work out right for us. So we come into shul. Some have the custom to wear a kittel, a white garment. Some of the married people. Most people only wear a kittel for Yom Kippur. The Chazanim wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah. And we begin with a special tune of Rosh Hashanah. Right? And you're supposed to join in with the tune where you can. That's the classical beginning tune of Myrith. So you'll hear it. What?
That's,
oh no, the Sephardim don't have that. That's Ashkenazi tune. Okay, the regular blessings of Myrith really have tremendous meaning. And we have to go through them on a different occasion. We will skip the regular Ma'ariv and go straight to our Shmona Esrei. So on the night of Rosh Hashanah, make sure you have a machzor. You should invest in a machzor before Rosh Hashanah, preferably one with English so you can understand what you're doing. My recommendation is for Art Scroll because they have excellent commentary and footnotes. Don't rush your tefillah. This is once a year. Take it easy. Go slowly. You don't have to be in a rush to make it with the tzibur. You're talking to your Creator. And the focus of the prayer, again, is not about us. It's all about Him. The focus of the prayer is we are reinstating, we are restating that Hashem is the King. And on the night of Rosh Hashanah, we begin with the additions of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. We know on the 10 days of repentance, we have additions in the Shmoneh Esrei. So the first addition is in the blessing of Avot, Zochenu Lechaim, remember us for life, Melech Hafetz V'chaim. And here you have the duality. And that's the duality of Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem is our Father on one hand, He's our King on the other hand. So we say He is Melech, on the one hand He's distant from us, He is King. On the other hand, He is Chafetz B'chaim, He wants life. V'chotveinu B'sefer HaChaim, and we ask Him to write us in the Book of Life, L'mancha. We say, even if I don't deserve it, do it for your sake, Elohim Chaim. Kid comes to his father. He says, Abba, Abba, I want a bike for my afikoman. And the father says, well, that's very nice, but, you know, we agreed with you that you wouldn't be running into the street without permission. You've been running into the street. How could I trust you with a bike? And the kid says, well, I'll be more careful. And the father says, I understand you're promising you'll be more careful, but you also promised us you'd be careful with your sister's bike you were using, and you left it out and it got stolen. And the kid says, yeah, but this time I'm going to be more careful. And the father says, yeah, you said you'd be more careful when we let you use your other sister's bike, and you left that bike out and that got stolen too. So the kid's in the corner, and what does he say? But you're an Abba. I don't understand. How are you going to finish Pesach without giving me an afikoman? So not because I deserve it, because you're supposed to give an afikoman. L'mancha Elokim Chaim. We sometimes say to Hashem, okay, even if I don't deserve it, but you're the God of life. For your sake, for the sake of your name, just as we say in the Shmoneh Esrei, Hashem brings redemption, L'man Shemo, for the sake of His name. He has to live up to His name. What kind of Abba are you going to be if you don't give me an afikoman? So Hashem, for the sake of His name, does it. And sometimes when you do it for the sake of your name, you feel like, well, why should I do it? Okay, you grunt as you do it. No, Hashem does it. So here we say, Hashem, remember us for life. You seek life. Write us in the Book of Life, L'mancha, for the sake of your name, for your sake, Elohim Chaim. The next edition on page 42, in the Mitzuda edition, Masar, that's what we have here, the Mitzuda Masar. Mi chamocha av rachamim. Who is like you, merciful Father? Or Father of all mercy? Zocher yitzurav lechaim, who remembers His creatures for life, v'rachamim. And then we move forward to Ata Kadosh v'shimcha Kadosh, and we do not conclude that blessing. U'kadoshim chol yom mi'aluch ha'sela, and now we have the additions. U'vechein. And the additions always begin with uvechein, and if you think of the word uvechein, we're on top of page 43, and so, and thus, and the word uvechein is a word that represents royalty. It is the word that Queen Esther used when she was describing entering the king, even though she didn't prepare with the proper preparations. Mordechai tells her, you gotta go in! It's a time of life and death. What's going to be with the Jewish people if you don't walk in? Mordechai stands there yelling at her, and she says, but, you know, people get killed if they walk in without invitation. And he tells her, but everyone's going to die if you don't do it. What choice do we have? You have to go there. She says, fine. You daven for me for 3 days. Uvechein avo el ha-melech asher lo chadat. And so I will go in, even though it is against the custom. And when we say the word uvechein, Chazal purposely introduced the Rosh Hashanah prayers with the word uvechein 3 times, each time represents this idea, and so I am entering, even though I haven't done the proper preparations. Uvechein, and the word vechein has the numerical value of 72. That's the numerical value of chesed, correct. Samach, samach. Uvechein, and so, our first request within the blessing of Kedusha is, Tein pachdecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. May all your works fear you, because at the root of it all, whether we behave or don't behave, whether we live up to the Torah or don't live up to the Torah, whether we're moral people or not moral people, at the root of it all is the question, does a person have any fear of heaven? Is he a God-fearing person or not? And that's why our first request, when we speak about God's kingship on earth, the fact that people will respect him, the first thing we ask for is, may his fear be realized by all his creations. Tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha, ve'imatcha al kol ma'shebarata, ve'irocha kol ma'asim, ishtachavu lefanecha kol ha'beruim. They'll all fear you, bow to you, and then they will all unify. Because if we think about it, what precludes our unity? It is only our ego. It's our ego, it's our selfishness that precludes unity. Whereas if we all realize we're standing, b'tzel knafecha, we're all under Hashem's wing, then unity is the most natural thing. So the natural outcome of being God-fearing people is v'yasu chulam aguda achat la'asot ritzoncha v'levav shalem, that everyone unifies for the same purpose. We're all coming there to do the will of Hashem with a complete heart. Kmo she'adanu Hashem Elokeinu she'ashilton lefanecha, as we know Hashem that you rule everything. Oz b'yadcha, the might is in your hand. U'gvura b'minecha, and strength is in your right hand. V'shimcha nora al kol ma shebrachata, your name is awesome over all you created. So that's the first uvechein that corresponds to malchuyos, that corresponds to the idea of Hashem's kingship. And then we go on to the second uvechein. I always pause at the end of each of these. At each juncture, I pause, I refocus, I think again, wow, I'm about to enter before the King of Kings, uvechein. And I shudder as I say the uvechein. I think of Esther going before a mortal king, how scared she was. And what am I doing tonight? Uvechein. And this introduction, this makeup of uvechein ten pachtecha, uvechein ten kavod, uvechein tzadikim, is going to repeat itself throughout all the Shemona Esrei's of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to say this 8 times. Ma'ariv shachris musaf mincha. Ma'ariv shachris musaf mincha. 8 times you're going to repeat this whole intro to Kedusha, and you're going to repeat it another 9 times on another, 5 times on Yom Kippur. Ma'ariv shachris musaf mincha ne'ila.
Is there anything in the fact that the word is uvechein levoch?
Don't know. I don't know. Uvechein. And so, as a natural outgrowth of Hashem's being recognized as ruler of the world, the next step in the logical sequence of things is that Tein Kavod Hashem Namecha. There will be honor to Hashem's people if you respect him, and these are his people. So, it follows that they will have respect. There will be praise to those who fear you, and good hope for those who seek him, and confident speech to those who yearn for you. Because right now we don't have a pitchon pe. It's very difficult for us to talk. The whole world looks down at us. When the world respects Hashem, and then the world respects those that are his people, then the people have room to say something. Ufitchon pe la miachlim nach. And those that hope, that yearn for you, will have capacity to open their mouths and speak. Simcha la'artzecha, that will bring happiness to his land. V'sason ni'irecha, and rejoicing to his city. Utzmichat keren, and the growth of the horn, the pride, le'David avdecha, for King David his servant. V'arichat ner le'ben yishai meshichecha, and setting the candles for the son of Jesse, your anointed one. V'mera mi'ameinu may be speedily in our days.
What's the meaning of the candles?
Hmm? I'm trying to remember, there's a pasuk that describes his kingdom as Hashem setting his candle up. If I remember correctly, I want to look it up, but if I remember correctly, this is a term from the Tanakh where David describes that, I think in Tehillim, David describes at some point that Hashem established his throne, and he describes it as Hashem set up, so to speak, the lamp in his honor. Just as the lamp gives light, so to Hashem set up his lamp, so to speak, King David's lamp. But I want to look it up. This is a vague memory. I don't remember the pasuk right now. Ner. Ner is an oil lamp. I don't remember. And so, Sadiqim Yir'u V'Yismachu. So we said, step one, Malchuyot, Hashem's kingdom will be recognized, the world will have respect for Him. Step two, Zichronot. So the memory of the people will come up, people will start respecting the people of Israel, and then Shofarot, the hope of the future is that the Sadiqim, the righteous ones, will see all of this, v'yismachu, and they will rejoice. V'sharim ya'alozu, those that are honest will be jubilant. V'chasidim, and the pious, berina yagilu, they will exult with joyous song. V'olata tikpots pia, and iniquity will shut its mouth. That's what we spoke earlier. The first stage of the redemption is pitchon peh, that we will have the capacity to speak. The final stage is that those that are sinful will realize that they can't speak, that they have no right to speak. V'chol harisha kula ka'ashan tichleh, and all wickedness will vanish like smoke. Ki ta'avir memshelet zadon min haaretz, for you will remove the rulership of evil from earth. So those are the three uvechein. There's the v'chein of we expect Hashem's kingship. The result is the honor of His people. The ultimate result is the removal of evil from the world. So this is the order of these v'chein. V'tinoch ata Hashem levadecha. And so you, Hashem, alone will reign al kol ma'asecha, over all your works. Be'al tzion mishkan kvodecha, on Mount Zion, the dwelling place of your glory. So again, we're hoping for the return to the Beit HaMikdash. Uvirushalayim ir kodshecha, in Jerusalem, your holy city. Kakatuv duvei kodshecha, as it says, Hashem will rule forever at Zion. Hallelujah. And then we conclude the Kedusha blessing. Hashem is holy, His name is awesome, there's no power but Him. As the verse says, Hashem was exalted through justice, and the Almighty was sanctified through righteousness. Baruch atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. So here we're connecting the themes. The idea of His judging, the idea of His righteousness, is connected to His being king. And notice that from the night of Rosh Hashanah onward, for the next 10 days till Yom Kippur, we conclude the blessing HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. Oh no, this is identical to this Friday one. This is no different. Oh, thank you. Where is it?
Wait, what were the three
hands with the summary? Shama Tzmech Kerem David, Arachti Ner Lim. Very good. There is such a passage. Tehillim 132.
Can't claim that I found that myself.
Say that. Tehillim 132, that's where it says it. Yeah.
You said the three uvechein were the topics of the three uvechein.
So the Avudraham, it says that the first uvechein that focuses on the fear of Hashem represents the idea of Hashem's kingship. The second uvechein that speaks about the honor returning to Am Yisrael corresponds to Zichonot, so to speak, the memory of Israel will be reinstated. And the third uvichein, that the tzaddikim will have it good, and that the wickedness will be totally abolished. That's the future world we look forward to. That corresponds to shofarot. That corresponds, the shofar represents the great shofar blast of the Mashiach. That's the focus of the end of the v'chein.
That's the song.
Yeah. Okay, next we go into the blessing of the day, Atah v'chaltanu, so that's like any other holiday. We say how Hashem chose us and uplifted us and brought us close to His service and placed His holy name on us and gave us with love this day of remembrance, Yom HaZikaron, right? The day of blowing shofar, the day where Am Yisrael gathers in commemoration of the Exodus from Egypt. And we ask that the memory of Am Yisrael and our forefathers and the Messiah and Jerusalem and the Holy City will all come before Hashem for good on this day. And we should have great salvation and mercy from Hashem. And that's the conclusion. We ask Hashem to rule over the world. This is going to be the conclusion of the blessing. We ask Hashem to rule over the world and be uplifted with His honor and appear over all of the people, and everyone should recognize Him, and all should declare Hashem is King. And then we come to the conclusion of the blessing. Blessed is Hashem, King over the earth, who sanctifies Israel, and this day of commemoration, the day of remembrance, the day of Rosh Hashanah, right? And then we have the final blessings of Shmon Esrei. Again, we have the additions. The addition on page 52. We ask Hashem to inscribe all the children of His covenant, all of Am Yisrael, for a good life. Notice how in the beginning we ask to be written for life, and only later do we ask for a good life. That's because we develop in our tefillah. We learn from David HaMelech that in tefillah you begin by asking a little, and then you ask more as you go along. And then at the bottom of the page we have the addition, B'sefer Chaim Beracha V'Shalom. We ask Hashem to be written in the book of life and blessing and peace and abundance that's where we should be remembered and written, or Asno of Am Yisrael, blessed is Hashem who makes peace. And that's the conclusion basically of Shmon Esrei. So that's the Ma'ariv prayer. Now we already know the intros of the Uvcheins, so now we can move forward to Shachris and skip all of that. So we'll divide the recordings and skip the Shachar.